Chapter 80. Betty thanked him with a grateful curtsy. Apostrophe, we must not lose sight of you. We must not let you pass out of our knowledge. We must know all about you. Apostrophe, yes, my dearie, but not through letter writing, because letter writing indeed, writing of most sorts, hadn't much come up for such as me when I was young. But I shall be to and fro. No fear of my missing a chance of giving myself a sight of your reviving face. Besides, apostrophe, said Betty, with logical good faith, I shall have a debt to pay off, by littles, and naturally that would bring me back, if nothing else would. Apostrophe, must it be done? Apostrophe, asked Mrs. Boffin, still reluctant, of the secretary. I think it must. Apostrophe, after more discussion it was agreed that it should be done, and Mrs. Boffin summoned Bella to note down the little purchases that were necessary to set Betty up in trade. Don't ye be timorous for me, my dear, apostrophe, said the stanch old heart, observant of Bella's face. When I take my seat with my work, clean and busy and fresh, in a country marketplace, I shall turn a sixpence as sure as ever a farmer's wife there. Apostrophe, the secretary took that opportunity of touching on the practical question of Mr. Sloppy's capabilities. He would have made a wonderful cabinet maker, said Mrs. Higdon, if there had been the money to put him to it. Apostrophe, she had seen him handle tools that he had borrowed to mend the mangle or to knock a broken piece of furniture together in a surprising manner. As to constructing toys for the minders out of nothing, he had done that daily, and once as many as a dozen people had got together in the lane to see the neatness with which he fitted the broken pieces of a foreign monkey's musical instrument. That's well, apostrophe, said the secretary. It will not be hard to find a trade for him. Apostrophe, John Harmon being buried under mountains now, the secretary that very same day set himself to finish his affairs, and have done with him. He drew up an ample declaration, to be signed by Rogue Riderhood, knowing he could get his signature to it, by making him another, and much shorter evening call, and then considered to whom should he give the document? To Hexham's son, or daughter. Resolved speedily, to the daughter. But it would be safer to avoid seeing the daughter, because the son had seen Julius Hanford, and he could not be too careful. There might possibly be some comparison of notes between the son and daughter, which would awaken slumbering suspicion, and lead to consequences. I might even, apostrophe, he reflected, be apprehended as having been concerned in my own murder. Apostrophe, therefore, best to send it to the daughter under cover by the post. Pleasant Riderhood had undertaken to find out where she lived, and it was not necessary that it should be attended by a single word of explanation. So far, straight. But, all that he knew of the daughter he derived from Mrs. Boffin's accounts, of what she heard from Mr. Lightwood, who seemed to have a reputation for his manner of relating a story, and to have made this story quite his own. It interested him, and he would like to have the means of knowing more, as, for instance, that she received the exonerating paper, and that it satisfied her, by opening some channel altogether independent of Lightwood, who likewise had seen Julius Hanford, who had publicly advertised for Julius Hanford, and whom of all men he, the secretary, most avoided, but with whom the common course of things might bring me in a moment face to face, any day in the week or any hour in the day. Apostrophe, now, to cast about for some likely means of opening such a channel. The boy, Hexham, was training for, and with a schoolmaster. The secretary knew it, because his sister's share in that disposal of him seemed to be the best part of Lightwood's account of the family. This young fellow, Sloppy, stood in need of some instruction. If he, the secretary, engaged that schoolmaster to impart it to him, the channel might be opened. The next point was, did Mrs. Boffin know the schoolmaster's name? No, but she knew where the school was. Quite enough. Promptly the secretary wrote to the master of that school, and that very evening Bradley Headstone answered in person. The secretary stated to the schoolmaster how the object was to send to him for certain occasional evening instruction, a youth whom Mr. and Mrs. Boffin wished to help to an industrious and useful place in life. The schoolmaster was willing to undertake the charge of such a pupil. The secretary inquired on what terms? The schoolmaster stated on what terms. Agreed and disposed of. May I ask, sir, apostrophe said Bradley Headstone, to whose good opinion I owe a recommendation to you? Apostrophe, you should know that I am not the principal here. I am Mr. Boffin's secretary. Mr. Boffin is a gentleman who inherited a property, of which you may have heard some public mention, the Harmon property. Mr. Harmon, said Bradley, who would have been a great deal more at a loss than he was, if he had known to whom he spoke, was murdered and found in the river. Interposed the secretary, smiling, it was not he who recommended you. Mr. Boffin heard of you through a certain Mr. Lightwood. I think you know Mr. Lightwood, or know of him. I know as much of him as I wish to know, sir. I have no acquaintance with Mr. Lightwood, and I desire none. I have no objection to Mr. Lightwood, but I have a particular objection to some of Mr. Lightwood's friends. In short, to one of Mr. Lightwood's friends, his great friend. He could hardly get the words out, even then and there, so fierce did he grow, though keeping himself down with infinite pains of repression, when the careless and contemptuous bearing of Eugene Rayburn rose before his mind. The secretary saw there was a strong feeling here on some sore point, and he would have made a diversion from it, but for Bradley's holding to it in his cumbersome way. I have no objection to mention the friend by name, he said, doggedly. The person I object to is Mr. Eugene Rayburn. The secretary remembered him. In his disturbed recollection of that night, when he was striving against the drug drink, there was but a dim image of Eugene's person, but he remembered his name, and his manner of speaking, and how he had gone with them to view the body, and where he had stood, and what he had said. Pray, Mr. Headstone, what is the name, he asked, again trying to make a diversion, of young Hexham's sister? Her name is Lizzie, said the schoolmaster, with a strong contraction of his whole face. She is a young woman of a remarkable character, is she not? She is sufficiently remarkable to be very superior to Mr. Eugene Rayburn, though an ordinary person might be that, said the schoolmaster, and I hope you will not think it impertinent in me, sir, to ask why you put the two names together? By mere accident, returned the secretary. Observing that Mr. Rayburn was a disagreeable subject with you, I tried to get away from it. Though not very successfully, it would appear. Do you know Mr. Rayburn, sir? No. Then perhaps the names cannot be put together on the authority of any representation of his? Certainly not. I took the liberty to ask, said Bradley, after casting his eyes on the ground, because he is capable of making any representation, in the swaggering levity of his insolence. I hope you will not misunderstand me, sir. I am much interested in this brother and sister, and the subject awakens very strong feelings within me. Very, very strong feelings. With a shaking hand, Bradley took out his handkerchief and wiped his brow. The secretary thought, as he glanced at the schoolmaster's face, that he had opened a channel here indeed, and that it was an unexpectedly dark and deep and stormy one, and difficult to sound. All at once, in the midst of his turbulent emotions, Bradley stopped and seemed to challenge his look, much as though he suddenly asked him, "What do you see in me?" apostrophe apostrophe the brother, young Hexam, was your real recommendation here, apostrophe said the secretary, quietly going back to the point. Mr. and Mrs. Boffin happening to know, through Mr. Lightwood, that he was your pupil. Anything that I ask respecting the brother and sister, or either of them, I ask for myself out of my own interest in the subject, and not in my official character, or on Mr. Boffin's behalf. How I come to be interested, I need not explain. You know the father's connection with the discovery of Mr. Harmon's body. Apostrophe, sir, apostrophe replied Bradley, very restlessly indeed, I know all the circumstances of that case. Apostrophe, pray tell me, Mr. Headstone, apostrophe said the secretary. Does the sister suffer under any stigma, because of the impossible accusation, groundless would be a better word, that was made against the father, and substantially withdrawn? Apostrophe apostrophe, no, sir, apostrophe returned Bradley, with a kind of anger. I am very glad to hear it. Apostrophe, the sister, apostrophe said Bradley, separating his words over carefully, and speaking as if he were repeating them from a book, suffers under no reproach, that repels a man of unimpeachable character who had made for himself every step of his way in life, from placing her in his own station. I will not say, raising her to his own station, I say, placing her in it. The sister labors under no reproach, unless she should unfortunately make it for herself. When such a man is not deterred from regarding her as his equal, and when he has convinced himself that there is no blemish on her, I think the fact must be taken to be pretty expressive. Apostrophe, and there is such a man? Apostrophe, apostrophe said the secretary. Bradley Headstone knotted his brows, and squared his large lower jaw, and fixed his eyes on the ground with an air of determination that seemed unnecessary to the occasion, as he replied. And there is such a man. Apostrophe, the secretary had no reason or excuse for prolonging the conversation, and it ended here. Within 3 hours the oakum-headed apparition once more dived into the leaving shop, and that night Rogue Riderhood's recantation lay in the post office, addressed under cover to Lizzie Hexam at her right address. All these proceedings occupied John Rokesmith so much, that it was not until the following day that he saw Bella again. It seemed then to be tacitly understood between them that they were to be as distantly easy as they could, without attracting the attention of Mr. and Mrs. Boffin to any marked change in their manner. The fitting out of old Betty Higdon was favorable to this, as keeping Bella engaged and interested, and as occupying the general attention. I think, apostrophe said Rokesmith, when they all stood about her, while she packed her tidy basket except Bella, who was busily helping on her knees at the chair on which it stood, that at least you might keep a letter in your pocket, Mrs. Higdon, which I would write for you and date from here, merely stating, in the names of Mr. and Mrs. Boffin, that they are your friends. I won't say patrons, because they wouldn't like it. Apostrophe, no, 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 apostrophe said Mr. Boffin. No patronizing. Let's keep out of that, whatever we come to. Apostrophe, there's more than enough of that about, without us. Ain't there, Noddy? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Mrs. Boffin. I believe you, old lady. Apostrophe, apostrophe returned the Golden Dustman. Overmuch indeed. Apostrophe, apostrophe, but people sometimes like to be patronized. Don't they, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe asked Bella, looking up. I don't. And if they do, my dear, they ought to learn better, apostrophe said Mr. Boffin. Patrons and patronesses, and vice patronesses, and deceased patronesses, and ex-vice patronesses, what does it all mean in the books of the charities, that come pouring in on Rokesmith as he sits among them pretty well up to his neck? If Mr. Tom Noakes gives his 5 shillings ain't he a patron, and if Mrs. Jack Stiles gives her 5 shillings ain't she a patroness? What the deuce is it all about? If it ain't stark staring impudence, what do you call it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, don't be warm, naughty, apostrophe, Mrs. Boffin urged. Warm. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Mr. Boffin. It's enough to make a man smoking hot. I can't go anywhere without being patronized. I don't want to be patronized. If I buy a ticket for a flower show, or a music show, or any sort of show, and pay pretty heavy for it, why am I to be patron and patronist, as if the patrons and patronesses treated me? If there's a good thing to be done, can't it be done on its own merits? If there's a bad thing to be done, can it ever be patron and patronist right? Yet when a new institution's going to be built, it seems to me that the bricks and mortar ain't made of half so much consequence as the patrons and patronesses. No, nor yet the objects. I wish somebody would tell me whether other countries get patronized to anything like the extent of this one. And as to the patrons and patronesses themselves, I wonder they're not ashamed of themselves. They ain't pills, or hair washes, or invigorating nervous essences, to be puffed in that way. Apostrophe, apostrophe, having delivered himself of these remarks, Mr. Boffin took a trot, according to his usual custom, and trotted back to the spot from which he had started. As to the letter, Rokesmith, apostrophe, said Mr. Boffin, you're as right as a trivet. Give her the letter, make her take the letter, put it in her pocket by violence. She might fall sick. You know you might fall sick, apostrophe, said Mr. Boffin. Don't deny it, Mrs. Higdon, in your obstinacy. You know you might. Apostrophe, old Betty laughed, and said that she would take the letter and be thankful. That's right. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Boffin. Come. That's sensible. And don't be thankful to us, for we never thought of it, but to Mr. Rokesmith. Apostrophe, the letter was written, and read to her, and given to her. Now, how do you feel? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Boffin. Do you like it? Apostrophe, the letter, sir? Apostrophe, said Betty. Eh, it's a beautiful letter. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.